So thank you so much, Ian.
Okay, thanks. So I'm sure we've all been faced with that dilemma when we've seen that young man or sometimes young woman slumped outside of a supermarket, whether it's Aldi, wherever it might be, hat by his side, containing a few coins. Or more often than not, which I'm perhaps more used to when I'm on a tube train, there's usually a youngish woman with a message written on a piece of cardboard wandering up and down the tube train asking for money. Or the kind of person when you're in a car park somewhere, could be supermarket, could be a general car park, who literally just comes up to you and says, "Have you got any spare change?" I'm sure we have all had to, well, we've all been in that place and wondered, what on earth do we do? How do we deal with that? What's genuine? If I do give them something, is it to feed their habits? I mean, all sorts of things. I'm sure you're thinking of all kinds of different things, when that happens. Should I go back into the shop if you buy a supermarket and buy them a sandwich or a piece of fruit or some drink, whatever it might be? Jesus said, "The poor will always be with you." We heard from that Deuteronomy reading that the writer of those first five books also said the same. The poor will be around us. It's there. We live in a society where people are struggling at the moment in the UK financially. We know that. We hear it on the news. We've just talked about it a moment or two ago in terms of the One Can Trust and those people who at the moment are just struggling to make things meet, let alone the emotional and mental problems that many people are also carrying at the same time. Our welfare state, of course, goes some way to meeting these needs, but we all know gaps remain. And of course, internationally, we only need to put our eyes forward. And of course, our news has been dominated over the last year by COVID. But despite all of that, we know that there are nations of the world and people of the world who are just basically don't get enough to eat day by day. What's our response? We're going to think about that in a moment or two. I just want to focus for a moment on the two readings before we go back to them. They, I think, are a fascinating insight into a society where the religious heritage of the people who they were writing to took care of the poor and needy, and particularly those also who were down on their luck. Deuteronomy, and actually the equivalent passage in Leviticus, talks of this year of Jubilee where people were released from their debt every 7 years. So, for example, if someone was poor, down on their luck, and had to sell some of their land just to survive, at the end of the 7 years, that land was then given back. That was one of the laws of the early Jewish society. And we also saw in that Deuteronomy reading a real emphasis on being generous and kind-hearted and bold towards giving to those who are needy. And then our Matthew reading was fascinating, wasn't it, too? Those people who are making a show of giving, whether that's whoever that's to, and what Jesus is saying there, don't make a show. Just let whatever happens be something in terms of what your inner life is about. Give and pray, not to be seen or honored, but because God, you love God and you love God and love others. I want to show you now, and this is going to be doing something a bit different. And it's still on the same thing, but I'd like to show you two pictures. They are artists, and Heather's going to put the first one on the screen for us. So you might want to make it a little bigger. That's what I'm doing. So you won't see all of our faces, but can you see it? It's appearing now. I'd like you to look at it for a few moments. And anybody tell me what this particular painting is, what it's representing. You'd have to unmute yourself to do this.
I understand it's depicting the prodigal son.
Did everyone hear that? It's the prodigal son. It's a painting by Rembrandt. He was a Dutch painter from the 17th century. His full name, by the way, his first name apparently was Rembrandt, Harmazoon van Rijn. I knew you didn't know that. I had to look it up. But a Dutch 17th century painting. But this is a painting that I've been aware of for many years. And you know the story of the prodigal son. And I just want you to look at it for a moment, because you can probably see in the background some faces. They may be a little bit distant, maybe a little unclear. But what's that picture telling you? And again, please unmute yourself if something speaks to you from that picture. What is it saying to you?
You could see the love and forgiveness on the father's face as he welcomes his son back.
Absolutely, Kathy. Yeah, absolutely. What else is it for others as well? What are you noticing?
The chap kneeling is desperate for that forgiveness.
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. The desperation of that, in this case, the younger son coming back. Anything else you notice?
Is that the older brother watching from a distance in the background? Because that was a very difficult moment for him.
Absolutely. We could stay with this for some time, but there's lots that you can pick out of a painting like this, which illustrates the story, which is so well known to us. But it's that sense, isn't it, of celebration and welcome. That sort of sense of open arms being there and welcoming somebody back. You can see it, as people said, in the body language, the eyes, the face, etc. I'd like to show you a second picture. Thanks, Heather. Now, this is a very, very famous icon. I'll tell you, unless anybody knows what it is, I won't tell you. Anybody know what it is? Christmas quiz all over again.
Abraham.
What was that, Paul?
I think it's the three angels who come to visit Abraham.
It is, absolutely. It's the three angels from that Genesis story coming to visit Abraham. And as you know, in Jewish society, hospitality is absolutely fundamental. And this is an icon painted by a Russian person called Rublev. Andrei Rublev. It's called Rublev's icon. And it is the three visitors, or the three angels, often seen to be an image of the Trinity. But again, as you look at this, what do you notice about this picture, about what's happening amongst the three of these people? Anything that strikes you? Again, do unmute yourself again.
I think the way they're all looking, it draws you into the centre of the picture.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? There's a drawing into the centre of the picture, a drawing into something quite, I don't know, something quite, well, I won't name it at the moment. What else is happening for you as you're looking at it? Icons are really interesting. They're one of those things where you need to spend time and just allow them to speak to you. They're almost a form of, as Kathy was saying, you're being drawn into something. And when I've spent some time with this icon over the years, I find it a fascinating one, because what I notice from it, and what I'm drawn into, is this picture of togetherness, community, harmony, that sense of we're in this, we're part of this, we are, given it is an image of the Trinity, we are one. Okay, thanks, Heather. You can go back to the original. I asked earlier the question to giving to the needy in our readings, what's our response? There are two words that come to my mind, and this is in nature of kind of thinking about where we take this from here, and that's hospitality and generosity. Because for me, that's what comes out of the readings, and it's also what comes out of those two pictures. So I've given you just a little bit more stimulation this morning other than just words. We've got a visual, a picture, just to try to seek to remember. And it may be, Heather, you might want to send these to people if they want to spend a little bit more time with them, because I think they can be very rich. Our readings and our paintings point to that challenge of having a generous nature and an open-heartedness that is genuine, which reflects the heart of God. This is not simply limited to being generous with money or food donations or possessions, although that's obviously really important, because not everybody can do that. We know that. Being hospitable, being generous, is about being open to God's generosity so that we can in turn can be open to others. And that can look like just listening really well to someone, and perhaps non-judgmentally, particularly when we find the person who's speaking or the person who we're seeking to reach out to, perhaps not the kind of person we would normally want to be with. It's reaching out to those who are in pain, who are struggling at the moment, standing with them. There's something, and I suppose it's in all of us really, that desire to want to rescue. Well, sometimes we can't rescue. We've just got to say we can't do that, but actually what we can do is stand and stay or sit and listen, be with them. Just holding them, not physically anymore for the moment, but I suppose emotionally holding them as we're with them. It may mean, for example, walking that extra mile with someone. It may mean checking with that neighbour who you don't really know, just checking in with them, just saying hello, whatever it might be. It might be a little gesture like baking a cake or cooking a meal for an individual or a family that's struggling. The list goes on. I don't need to create those for you. You know what those could be. There could be all kinds of different little gestures which actually give to the needy whatever the need might be. But to give to the needy means us being open and receptive to what we're seeing out there. It's almost getting our eyes off ourselves and looking outwardly and thinking, so how can I touch someone else? And it doesn't have to be, as I said, in a big way. It can be a tiny little way. So, question to leave with you for this week. What's the one thing we can do for someone else this week that's beyond what we normally do? That's all I'm going to ask. It's what I'm going to ask myself, that I'm asking you guys. And maybe next week we can actually say, when we have that thankful time, this is what I did. And we know when we give, it actually is not only good for the person who receives, but it's good for us who give. Amen.